The time is 7 o'clock. I'm calling to order the Happy Missouri River Natural Resources Board of Directors meeting. Please raise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You're gonna have somebody else at the parties.
Yeah, Jim's is like.
So now you've got your opponents, but you've got other guys.
Yeah, a copy of Open the Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairman's report with their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairman. Lastly, the directors will discuss the items and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion or action. Thank you. With that, roll call, please.
Bradley.
Here.
Fred Conley.
Here.
John Conley.
Here.
Howard.
Here.
Grunwald. Yeah.
Here.
Leahy.
Here.
Caesar.
Thompson. Here.
Wheat. And
Here. And we do, Director Grunwald just contacted me, so we do have to excuse absence from him this evening. With that, agenda item number 4, adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All right, we have a motion on the floor. Roll call on the adoption of the agenda.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Howler.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Yes, agenda item number 5, adoption of the consent agenda.
Go move.
Second.
There's a motion second. Roll call on the consent agenda.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Thank
you. Yes.
Thompson. Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Yes. And the affidavit of proof of publication for this evening's meeting that will become part of the permanent record of this meeting. With that, we'll move on to agenda item number 8, agency and association reports and presentations, Natural Resources Conservation Service report from Neil Jensen. Good evening, Neil.
Good evening. Most of you probably already know this, but Congress finally approved Bill Northey as our undersecretary for the food, they call it FPAC, farm production and conservation. He's an Iowa native, fourth generation corn soybean farmer. He's been on Corn Growers Association, Farm Bureau, but probably to me the most important thing is that he was a commissioner on the Dickinson County Soil and Water Conservation District. So I think he's going to have a real strong background in conservation and certainly understands a lot of the stuff that you guys deal with also. The thing that got confusing when I was looking this up is he got appointed as the Undersecretary for Farm and Foreign Ag Services. You go down to the next page. But we're FPAC. And so I was scratching my head, well, until you read the whole thing, it says, well, Congress hasn't caught up with the name change. And so eventually he'll be the undersecretary for the three agencies. And if you look at that chart there, you might remember probably about 6-9 months ago, you know, I said we were going some changes, and part of that change is they moved Farm Service Agency, the Risk Management Agency, which deals with crop insurance, and NRCS. They moved us all under that Farm Production and Conservation Undersecretary, who is now Bill Northey. And so that started probably about May of last year, and it's basically that's happened. Go to the next page. Just to give you an idea, you know, what's their next step that they've been working on. This one isn't quite as nice of a chart there that you can read, but basically what they've done is they're taking all of the mission support from each of those agencies and going to combine those into a business center. So like all the human resource staff of all those three agencies, financial management, those will all become part of a business center just to try to improve operation defense efficiencies. I don't see that as a big thing, maybe yet, because it's something that NRCS kind of did here in the last 2-3 years. Each state used to have a human resource staff person. Then they made them regional. So when you deal with somebody from human resources, you may be talking to somebody in North Carolina instead of in Lincoln. And so that type of stuff, yeah, I think there can be some efficiencies by doing this, but it may affect some of the contracting instead of talking to somebody in Lincoln that we have in the past, is we may be talking somebody, like I said, North Carolina on contracting. So, but hopefully it doesn't cause any issues with anything that we deal with the NRD here. So the main thing for us is our mission support, which is working with farmers, that's unchanged. You know, that's we're still dealing with farmers and our programs and working with them, and you know, we'll just keep on going the way we are now. So, any questions?
Director Jack.
Address this before the hiring thing. Is that all taken care of now then?
Nothing's changed. Is that taken care of? No. You know, there isn't a hiring freeze per se. It's just that they are wanting us to be leaner. And right now in Nebraska, our staffing just doesn't allow us to hire.
You can't even hire
them.
I know you're short staff, said, but it can be that way for a while.
Yeah, well, and that's, there's a lot of discussion as to where we're going at to resolve those issues, but it's not going to be a wait and all of a sudden we're going to be able to hire 50 people. This is, yeah, we're about 40, 50 people less in the whole state. Just people retiring, people going to different agencies and jobs. But they're also saying we should have less people based on our current workload. Don't agree with them, but it is what it is.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you, Neil. Item 8B, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts. There will be a Board of Directors meeting in the Embassy Suites in Lincoln on March 11th and 12th coming up. 8C, Nebraska Natural Resource Commission, Director Jim Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We met in February, and the main thing on the agenda was to approve the rules that were submitted and whatever changes that were felt to be incorporated. The big change that I want to highlight is the original rule draft said that any sponsor of a project would have to get all permits lined up, including the inclusion of Don Winkler's letter and other letters across the state. They basically, they got the message that it wasn't probable and possible to get all permits lined up before projects are approved by the Water Sustainability Fund Commission there. So that rule did not get, we did not change the rule that would require the permit. So that's back to where it was, which is good news. That would be a benefit to big NRDs like us, but otherwise small NRDs, other sponsors wouldn't be able to get all the approvals done before they submit requests for the money. And that's really the highlight of the commission. And that's about it.
Thank you, Director Thompson. Moving on to AD, a legislative report. Mr. Blackwell.
Good evening, Ron. Good evening, Director Klug and Director Ron Sedlacek with Hush Blackwell.
registered lobbyist for Pepin, Missouri River NRD. And I have before you a couple of handouts. We'd like to kind of divide the report into two sections. One would be legislative itself, and then also a handout dealing with those who are seeking either election or re-election to the legislature. Put together a presentation for you in that regard. We'll go over line by line, but would give you an overview, and then save time for any questions that you might have. So let's begin with the legislative report, which is the white paper here. Since I last gave the report, progress is being made in the legislature in some areas and maybe not so much in others, but there was an anticipated release of the budget recommendations this afternoon. However, by the time I left, that had not occurred. It may have before they adjourn, but tomorrow is definitely the deadline in a short session, which is 60 days. On the 40th day, which is tomorrow, the report must be released by the Appropriations Committee, and then it must be passed by the 50th day of the session, which this year is March 27th. Since our last report, the Revenue Forecasting Board did meet on February 28th, and they did revise estimates, their projections of revenue estimates upwards. And depending upon how you look at it, it could be over $300 million, but then again, it could be as little as $25 million for next year, and then another or $20 million, and then $35 in the year after that. What they're trying to do is give estimates based on a piece of legislation that was introduced in reaction to the federal legislation, the federal tax reform bill, and that's LB 1090. And in fact, there is a little bit of a description of LB 1090 on page 9 of the report under the key tax proposals. That bill was taken up this morning, and it went to about 2.5 hours of debate prior to a time to invoke cloture, which would be a 3-hour limit. And it did advance to select file. But that bill essentially is trying to lessen the impact of federal tax reform on Nebraska, and that's because due to the fact that the major basis is that on the federal level, personal exemption is no longer present. Since our system is based on the federal system, that would mean a loss of a personal exemption in Nebraska at the same rate. Therefore, they'd like to reinstate that portion of the bill. And then also, we use a different CPI than now the federal CPI will be based upon. That will be changed as well. So the idea is to pass the bill and to try to hold harmless as best as possible, revisit the issue next year. So there may be another piece of legislation addressing this, seeing how things all fall together. Certainly on the corporate side, they're estimating an additional $8 million tax increase on the income tax side due to federal tax reform. That itself will probably be looked at because now the federal rate's 21% in Nebraska is almost 8%. That's quite a chunk in comparison. Since the last report on February 20th, the deadline for priority bill designations were made. And so what I tried to do is put together in the first part of this document those bills that we reported on or discussed previously, those that are priority bills, kind of give you an update on the status of what's going on. So if you look on page 2, starting with LB 98, that was debated once again. It's a carryover bill from the 2017 session. And that bill failed to advance. It went to cloture and failed to get the requisite 33 votes to continue. So it went to the bottom of the legislative agenda. This year, Senator Stinner, who's chair of the Appropriations Committee, redesignated that bill as a priority. It was debated yesterday, went to cloture once again, and it failed on a 27-14 vote, essentially, for not voting. 33 votes are needed, and I think this particular piece of legislation demonstrates what a heavy lift it's going to be for any legislation in the future dealing with levy limits or bonding and those types of things. It's a whole new makeup of the legislature. Of course, we're going to have an election between that, but that probably means a lot more one-on-one meetings and educating senators. I might add that during the course of debate, our NRD was mentioned a few times in relationship to the grant for from the Water Sustainability Fund. And so at any rate, I can tell you that the senators are very much aware of of getting that grant. LB 729 is on general file, and it's been amended so that that particular bill dealing with the Tort Claims Act, Political Subdivisions Tort Claims Act, applies only to a segment of state government, and that's the Department of Health and Human Services, rather than every political subdivision there is. So for risk management purposes, we'll be watching that, but we probably can take that off the agenda should that advance with amendment. LB 758 was passed and signed by the governor, so that addressed the Republican Flat Enhancement Project. LB 808, this is a bill dealing with community gardens and seed libraries. And when it was introduced by Senator Burke Haar, it was debated today on general file, and the bill was amended. The original bill called for an allocation from the Water Sustainability Fund in the neighborhood of $100 million. $100,000. Excuse me, $100,000. That's double the fund. as seed money. That was rejected by the committee, and so they tried to work out a compromise. And those members of the Water Sustainability Fund, you know, of course, had their input as well. So the compromise was to provide for $50,000 from the Environmental Trust Fund for the purposes of initial funding. That amendment that amendment lost by a vote of 19-24 this afternoon. The bill then, they were working on another amendment, and it came time for that three-hour window for cloture. It was not invoked, so the speaker took the bill off the legislative agenda. So the question is whether or not it will ever see the light of day again. Just don't know at this point. But usually when that happens, it goes to the bottom of the agenda. And better luck next time. Other issues of interest, LB 693 dealing with drones is still in committee. LB 762 scrap tire recycling grant still in committee. LB 784, this is a bill before Business and Labor Committee. It was advanced from committee by a 7-0 vote, so it's eligible for consent calendar. But it would prohibit contractors with unpaid fines from contracting with political subdivisions. LB 822, there was a public hearing on an amendment offered to this bill that still remains in committee. It was a shell bill essentially introduced just in case they needed a vehicle for other legislation. And what that amendment deals with are what you would call proprietary or commercial information. To preserve that information as related to public power districts. There was a Nebraska Supreme Court case that would have required power districts to give out more information. They felt that was in healthy competition purposes and getting into the weeds on ratepayers and so forth. So they asked for this amendment, and it was a public hearing was held yesterday. The bill's still in committee at this point. But it may be advanced, and then it may be used as an amendment for another piece of legislation going down the passage. LB 850 regarding cost disclosures to pay off bonds is still in committee. LB 887 is on general file. It does have an amendment filed by the committee. It doesn't change the original intent of the bill, but it does add a restriction for primary class cities at this point. LB 943 on budget limitations remains in committee, as well as 997 dealing with the administrative employee salary limits. None of those are consent calendar eligible bills, more than likely. They're not priority bills, and so it's unlikely they'll be further considered. LB 1128 is still in committee, and that deals with government entities' prohibition from spending legislative prohibitions for particular events. LB 1011, vehicle safety. This would apply to the NRD's utility vehicles or vehicles that might be on the road, giving an additional guide to the rules of the road, requiring a duty for drivers to slow down when those lights are flashing and precautions to move over. Kind of a piece of common sense legislation, but all rules of the road are usually common sense legislation. That may be advanced from committee next Tuesday. And maybe a consent calendar bill, from what I understand, in talking with committee counsel this afternoon. LB 1068, dealing with election changes, which I believe we already comply with, is still in committee, as well as the wildlife conservation plates, LB 1080. 1095, tax notices and receipt information. Yeah, that's the bill, I think, where we have compliance with. That's also remains in committee. Overriding property tax limits, LB 1106, still in committee. 1123, Senator Groney's bills dealing with augmentation projects, was indefinitely postponed. And his companion bill, 1126, dealing with land acquisitions and groundwater pump installations, remains in committee. As far as other tax proposals that might be of interest, and that would certainly affect the NRD directly, are we already went over 1090. That would not. That's more of a general overlook, but it does have to do with the state budget. But there's LB 829, which is Senator Erdman's proposal, and that's almost identical to the initiative petition that was filed at the Secretary of State's office back on February 15th, and that remains in Revenue Committee. As well as the governor's bill, 947, which is an attempt to provide property tax, income tax, corporate income tax relief. It's been called a work in progress ever since the day it was introduced. They still are calling it a work in progress. Negotiations were held this morning. I know the governor's been meeting with a number of groups, both this morning and this afternoon, the ag groups. Don't know what their decision has been as to whether there's acceptance to potential amendments, but we should find out very shortly. And then LB 1084 is a third alternative that remains in Revenue Committee, and that bill would provide for expansion of the sales tax base, sales tax rate, the property tax credit fund. It would raise a number of taxes, cigarette taxes, get rid of some sales tax exemptions as well, and then internet sales tax, which, by the way, LB 44, which is not on our list, was a bill that advanced 2 days ago to select file. So with that, that would conclude this portion of the report. If there are any questions. Yes.
Just a comment on 808 community gardens. I'm glad to see that almost. It's going to go away, what you're telling me.
Probably.
Yeah, that's good. The water sustainability, the commission, we were totally against that. We're paying farmers not to irrigate and all that. Now here's a bill to put water on a garden. That makes sense. So couldn't understand how that'd be a priority bill.
No, they didn't. Well, then they tried the Environmental Trust Fund, which is derived from gambling money, but then there's a relationship when you're farming. It's often a gamble, too. So there's some gambling money chasing a gamble. But at any rate, let's go on to the legislative report, the legislative candidate section of the report. And I'm not going to go through each and every one. That's at your own leisure, but I'll give you a general overview. And what I would suggest is that you pay probably the closest attention to districts 2, through districts 20, because those are the districts where our the senators will be representing districts within our own district here. But it's an odd number year, or it's an even number election year, and all the even number seats are up. And so that's 24 of the 49 will be up for either re-election or running for election for the first time, or those appointed senators running for election the first time. And 14 of our seated senators will be attempting re-election. Two decided not to seek a second term. That's Senator Keene, as well as Senator Baker. Six senators are term limited. Several from this district, actually, Senator Haar, Smith, Crist, Brosh, from the district, and then Larson and Shoemaker are not, but both of them will be term limited. Two senators from the district, Senators Thibodeau and Clements, are running for a full term. And then one senator from the district, Senator Maranti, is in midterm, but he's running for state treasurer's office. And then Senator Dan Watermeyer, district one, is running for public service commission, also in midterm. So at this point, we know at least we'll have 8 new senators next year, and there's always a couple surprises, so 8 to 10 perhaps. Never know in that regard, but we are in the process of interviewing a number of candidates, knock on the door and ask to be interviewed and just get to meet and greet and to get an opportunity to talk a little bit about our issues, our mission, and what we're interested in. Are there any questions in that regard? Comment-wise, I can guarantee you right now that there's going to be a mistake here or something. I know it. And because so much of this is derived from newspaper reports or websites or the candidate's website, and you kind of take what's out there in the public for granted and at least put it in the report, but there'll be something that this will be revised. So just the word of caution.
George Fowler, just a quick question. On the Internet sales tax,
yes, sir.
I understand where the governor is and where Senator Smith's at. What's your gut feeling? Do you think that they even have enough support for that at this point? It looks like an uphill battle.
This is the bill had LB 44 has two parts to it, and one part is a collection mechanism should the Supreme Court, it says in that bill, abrogate the Quill case, which is regulates that interstate, essentially that portion that we're talking about in interstate commerce. So not to get to higher elevation here, though. What they're saying is we don't know if the court's going to abrogate that case. They may alter it. There may be a plurality opinion. We don't know. So you need more wiggle room in that definition. That's one thing. The second part of the bill says, well, even if it isn't, if that doesn't happen, well, then Nebraska is going to require an out-of-state retailer who collects more than $100,000 from Nebraska residents or contacts more than or has contact with more than 200 Nebraska residents to file an annual report with the Department of Revenue telling them the gross sales or the number of residents they contacted, and then to mail by a letter, it has to be mailing a letter to each purchaser in Nebraska telling them they owe use tax on whatever they purchased if they do not have nexus in Nebraska, nexus being the trigger. So the governor and Senator Smith are saying this is way overly burdensome for small businesses, particularly the argument is, well, small retailers in Nebraska have to collect. How about small retailers outside? Well, they're saying this is what's next? And then another state's going to say you have to do this. You have to stand on your head while you put it in the mail. You know, all kinds of requirements. And that's why we have an interstate commerce clause to make things smooth, uniform, commerce between the states. So that's their argument. I think the bill may get possibly to the governor's desk, and then he'll veto it, potentially. And if there is a veto, I think it's going to be really hard to override it. Because a veto override is a whole different thing than passing the legislation. Senator Smith has offered an amendment that would strike that reporting provision that I mentioned. And the other amendment would be to change language dealing with abrogation to alteration of quill. And so he's offering that, and he said, if you accept that, a number more people be with you. So I don't know. I guess we'll see in due course whether that amendment will be accepted or not.
Thank you. Any further questions? Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
We'll move on to subcommittee reports. 9A, Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the March 6, 2018 meeting of the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Item 1 is Nebraska Land Trust Interlocal Agreement, Third Addendum. Subcommittee recommends that the general manager be authorized to execute the third addendum to the 18 March 2009 agreement between Papio Missouri River NRD and Nebraska Land Trust for cooperative assistance that allows for the additional three-year district commitment in the amount of $30,000 per year commencing in fiscal year 2019. Subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as informed by district legal counsel and on behalf of the committee, I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion.
Donald.
Yes.
Staff.
Yes.
Clayton.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Yes.
Item number 2 is amendment to an interlocal agreement with the City of Gretna on sanitary sewer main extension around WP2 project. Subcommittee recommends that the GM be authorized to execute an amendment to the interlocal agreement with the City of Gretna for the WP2 sanitary sewer main extension project in a maximum not to exceed amount of $370,000, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as informed by district legal counsel. And I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Again, roll call, please.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Yes.
Item 3 is amendments to District Policy 17-21, Groundwater Management Program. Subcommittee recommends that the amendments to Policy 17-21, Groundwater Management Program, be adopted and incorporated into the district's policy manual, and I so move.
We once again have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? None, roll call on the motion.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred.
Aye.
Thompson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Item number 4 is the City of Springfield Wellhead Protection Area Plan cost share agreement. Subcommittee recommends that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed interlocal agreement with the City of Springfield for wellhead protection area plan cost share in a maximum not to exceed amount of $30,000, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as informed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Roll call, please.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Item 5 is a joint funding agreement with USGS for Western Sarpy County Geoscene 3D Aquifer Characterization Project. The subcommittee recommends that the general manager be authorized to execute a joint funding agreement with U.S. Geological Survey for the Western Sarpy County Geoscene 3D Aquifer Characterization Project for a total non-federal cost of $200,000, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? We'll call on the motion, please.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Dalloway.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Jeffrey.
Yes.
Item 6, review of bids received. The subcommittee recommends that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with HCI Construction in a maximum not to exceed amount of $186,023.29 for the construction of a fish cleaning station and trail improvements at the Danish Alps State Recreation Area Project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Director Jack.
One question. This was in the original proposal for the Danish.
It was in the master plan. Correct.
Okay. So this is not an add-on. It's nothing.
It was, it was eliminated during the budgeting. Any other questions from directors? I'm going to throw out a quick comment on this. I struggle with the idea of spending $86,000 on a fish cleaning station. I think the rest of the project makes good sense. As it sits, I cannot support it, though. So I'm going to throw out an amendment to move forward with the bid as outlined, with the exception of the fish cleaning station. Let's see if we can get a second.
I'll second that.
Director Leahy. Open up for discussion on the amended motion.
How much is a fish station cleaning station typically? Is it too much to spend, you mean? Or what would be, is there a way to reduce the cost of it? Or
I think that it's more than the station. It's the infrastructure for the station, to, you know, the pad and the housing and all of that. And Mike and Terry, you can add in. They range probably anywhere from $60,000 to $100,000 or more, depending on what you want, the brand, the size, and everything. The one of the reasons that this was eliminated, obviously, first was budget. The idea of the fish cleaning station is an amenity to the people that utilize the facility. As a state recreation area, we want to generate revenue. That revenue covers our costs, covers game and parks costs. Obviously, the more amenities you have, typically the more revenue you're generated. Now, if you want, it's what the board wants. If you want a simple, primitive area with no amenities, we can do that. If you want a state recreation area that's going to generate revenue that reduces our cost to nothing, you have to have these facilities. It's pure and simple. So that's the choice. We can continue to operate and pay game parks $50,000 to $30,000 or $40,000 or whatever it is a year, or we can try to get to the point where it's a self-funding area. Now, I can tell you, Game and Parks, by managing this as a state recreation area, is saving us a ton of money. There is no way that we could operate that facility for $50,000 a year.
So, does this, you're talking about the additional income it would potentially create, is that because of additional licenses that people are buying, or where does the generating income come from?
Well, everybody that enters that park has to pay a fee.
Unless they have a...
Well, and they have a park pass or yearly park pass, but
it makes it a go-to place.
Yeah, so it makes it a place that people want to go to utilize the facility. Up in that part, I mean, these type of areas are in high demand, especially in urban areas or near urban areas. So, as we continue to add facilities and add amenities like trails and kayaks and all those types of things, you will see your increase in attendance. And we've already seen an increase in attendance at that recreation area. And as the trees mature and all those things fall into place, it's a business model. The more you have, the more people you get. If we built roller coasters, we'd have more people there. I mean, it's just there's more things to do. And so it's a business. I mean, state recreation areas are a business. And so obviously the more traffic we can generate, the more revenue we can generate, the less it falls on the taxpayers to fund those facilities.
I mean, because of the state recreation area, maybe it makes sense to put a fish cleaning station, but we put in a lot of lakes and water retention devices. Do we have fish cleaning stations on any of the others?
We don't, and typically because a community owns or typically manages the rec area. So, for example, Prairie Queen, Damsite 15A, all of those different areas are managed by a community. So once we build them, we hand them over. Here we lease it from the Corps of Engineers. Corps of Engineers land. I guess we've never approached them if we could put a fish cleaning station here. But that's the difference. Summit is our other state recreation area. But it appears that this lake was designed to be a very good fishery in that area. And so obviously you want to cater to that crowd. And so that's what this does, is it just gives them another amenity to visit that park and to hopefully increase your travel.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If we look on the bid tally for that particular item, and this is three categories, the trails and two trails, day use area and so on. This was competitively bid. There are four bids ranging from $86,800. $95 to $96, $119. So it was done competitively for this aspect. Keep in mind, it's for ADA compliance. I'm a chaplain, a champion for those who are disabled to enjoy the wonderful things we can provide in our natural resource district. A simple concept like a fish cleaning station. I'm not in a wheelchair, but I think to make it available for those folks, it's probably not a Cadillac, but it's functional for that aspect. And as John Winkler said, this is a big deal as an amenity factor. If we take it out, what's the price for a normal fish station? Maybe this is normal. I'm guessing it is. Otherwise, don't have a fish station. Then what? You cut your fish out and you... Or you clean them there and leave the guts to flow into the river or into the lake. I think that's the problem. We don't want that to happen.
Right.
So I'm willing to invest the money to make this amenity first class. Remember when we approved this project, it was a regional-wide thing. This is going to be Nebraska's Lake Okoboji. If we start scrimping on things like a fish cleaning station where people can throw their clean fish in a cooler and walk away or drive away, I mean... I think it's a small investment for a greater good. So I'm not going to support the amendment.
Thank you, Director Thomas. Just to be clear, I do support all the aspects of upgrading the trail so that it's all ADA compliant.
So is the fish station.
I'm not attempting to dissuade handicapped people from using our facilities. So just make that perfectly clear. Director Leahy, you look like you have a question.
Yeah, it's a question. How come the Game Parks isn't a partner in this? Like usually... You see them driving this, and then we are coming to the table with some kind of cost share.
Right. The game parks, because they have their own facilities that they own, they are obviously taxed when it comes to trying to maintain those and operate those parks. So actually, to have them come in and manage this as a state recreation area was a huge win for us. They cannot come into an area and justify to their commissioners if they are losing money managing someone else's facility. And so what we are going to bring next month is actually an agreement that will amend the current agreement with the Game Parks that as we add amenities like the fish cleaning station, we will get credit for that when it comes time for our yearly review of the expenses and revenue. And so, in a way, they might not be directly giving us half or whatever the percentage is for us, but they will be participating by reducing our outlay to pay them for managing it because of the amenities that we add.
And then a follow-up question. So, when this thing broke or, you know, people just put their fish guts wherever and it's looking nasty, are they responsible for the ongoing maintenance of this?
Or? Terry, is that correct?
That's
correct. Okay. Okay.
Coach Bradley.
I remember when the planning stages and so forth and trying to secure the last few properties that
make this a reality, I was hoping for that there would be, you know, an educational portion of this area for Native Americans, and sort of like the Earth Lodge that's somewhere built near Blackbird Hill in 75. And that never, of course, I was there the next 4 years, so I guess that never came to fruition. But I would like to see something like that, talk about amenities that would draw folks. Although I do caution, you don't want another Okoboji. Not up there.
It's not that big.
Up there. But we would like to see, you know, families and so forth. But I can't support the amendment either.
Rich Fowler. I got a great analogy. We all drive on the interstates, and some states you go through, and they have the worst restrooms you ever stop at. Man, we want to have a nice facility. We put a lot of effort in that. And think of all the lakes, detention, whatever you call them. We put a lot of effort in putting fish, and we get habitat for them. And at the end of the day, it's bringing families together. I couldn't think of a better thing to do than having a proper fish station. And as an angler, I don't know if Chairman Klug is an angler or not, but, man, I really appreciate a fish station when you got kids and all the above. And you, and some of the lakes you go to, you see guts and crap everywhere. We don't want this. Like, we put a lot of effort into it, put a shiny star on it, and make it a destination place for this state. And that is huge. And when you talk about education, you know, getting kids out of the TVs and all that stuff, this is all part of that. And I would support something in the future with working with Game and Park in the future, anything we do, that we include this and we make it happen. We should be building really good stuff where people want to go to and get out and enjoy. That's my two cents.
Good, Brandon.
And then the blueprint plans, does the fish station have electrical outlets? Of course, we get electric cleaning.
Ms. Blackie?
Yes, that. Okay.
Is there a photo? I wasn't here on Tuesday. Is there like a photo of the fish cleaning station or something that we can get like a visual? So I just Googled fish cleaning stations real fast, and I mean, that sort of drives home drives home the point. $86,000, you know, even if you are putting a cement.
So we've been talking, and I don't know if there's a picture in my, maybe we can provide one, but. But so when we met with Game and Parks to talk about this, this wasn't just something that – I mean, they have a lot of experience with fish cleaning stations. They know which ones don't work. They know which ones are high maintenance, and they know which ones work very well. And they've also worked with other states, Department of Natural Resources, their Game and Parks. And so the one we recommended was something that was – it was low maintenance. It doesn't jam as much. It doesn't clog as much. And it is it is sized to the area, and it is a piece of equipment that will hopefully be low maintenance and will be very efficient for many years. So it wasn't just something we looked up and said, okay, that's the cheapest one. We're going to go with that one. There was some thought, and there was a lot of experience of working with these particular pieces of equipment that they brought to the table and say, this is the unit that is the highest recommended, and we have the most success with. And so it wasn't willy-nilly. It was thought out for probably a year of which particular unit we were going to go with. So, and we're confident that it will work as advertised. And has the warranties and all the other things that go with equipment like
that. There'll be signage that lets people know, like, this is a fish cleaning station and not a urinal for your 5-year-old.
A happy fish station.
Yeah. I mean, is there's signage? And
well, I mean, there'll be. I'm sure there's instructions. I don't know about the urinal. We hope no children use it as a
urinal. I mean, but you know, sort of joking, because I mean, you take a look at this stuff and you just sort of see what teenagers will do when they get a hold of something like this. But to Director Bradley's point, you know, I'm big on the education aspect, too, for our youth who get out there. You know, why just put a fish cleaning station out there? Put a sign, fish cleaning station, with maybe some instructions about how people go about cleaning. I wouldn't have the slightest clue. You know, you clean it on the grill. You know? So, you know, I don't know if that can be added this late in the game. In Game of Parks, apparently, if they do this so many times, you would think they have some kind of instructional thing that can be one of those signs that we put on our other parks.
We definitely can work with them and say, hey, if there's educational, the 1, 2, 3, 4 steps of clean and finish.
Then I can support it.
You go, hey, you, clean yourself up.
There's comment.
Question for our staff. Does this have a water supply extension into the fish cleaning station as part of the bid?
Yeah, you have to have the water too. Yeah,
the water flow.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Any further questions from directors on the amendment?
This is the amendment.
I guess there's got to be one agenda item every board meeting. With that, roll call the amendment, please.
No. No.
Yes. I'm still laughing. I amend that.
I'm tempted, but no.
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 No. Yes. Back to the original motion. Do we need any further discussion on this agenda item?
No. what kind of reassurances will we have that we'll have some kind of educational sign up there?
But we'll work with Game of Parks.
We trust.
Yes.
And GM, we trust.
We'll
with that.
I'll talk to Terry. Okay. They've been obviously they're very easy to work with, and they're very appreciative of our relationship. Okay. And if they have something, they may come up with it on their own, and they may do it at other places if they don't. So.
Okay.
So is Vince Cramp going to have a fish fry?
We'll have to add something.
All right. Seeing no further questions that come from directors, roll call on the motion.
Yes.
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 Bradley.
Yes.
Aye.
No.
Okay. Now moving ahead to item 7. An update to Appendix K, Rules and Regulations for All District Recreation Areas. Subcommittee recommends that the proposed amendments to Appendix K, Rules and Regulations for All District Recreation Areas, be approved and incorporated in the District Policy Manual, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff?
Or Director, Director Lake? This was my little thing. So Chalco is the only park that we're under Army Corps of Engineers.
Yeah, they own the we lease the park.
Okay, and then it says here the rules and regulations for Prairie Queen Rec Area, but I thought that one was under the city of Papillion.
That is under the city of Papillion, and there, and those are probably just carried over from. We can. Yeah. This is just an appendix to those, so we'll.
Okay.
We'll take.
All right. And then with the Section 15 special use permits, that's not for people who sell food.
No.
Right.
There's no. Yeah. There's no. There's no vendor permit for that to sell food in the rec.
Okay, but we are planning some kind of grand review of this or update of this.
Is the review of this particular policy. But we can change this at any time.
Okay.
This doesn't take the layover. Yeah. So we can, if we get a big run on food vendors, then that's what we want to do.
Just out of curiosity, if like some Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts were to show up at one of these sites and be pushing lemonade and their cookies, I mean, they don't need any kind of permit or permission, or do they? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah. No. Well, I something of that nature. I don't anticipate that that issue.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd have to take that case by case.
Okay.
Any further questions from directors? Seeing none, roll call the motion, please.
Fowler.
Yes.
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 Aye.
Yes.
Yes.
That concludes my lengthy report.
Thank you, Director Thompson. Sorry, Director Fowler. Moving on to Freudian slip. 9B, Finance, Expenditures, and Legal Subcommittee, Director Jim Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Be resolved, minutes in March 6th, 2018 meeting of the Finance, Expenditure, Legal Subcommittee, have accepted appropriating these minutes following recommendations of Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Item one, lot donation from Eastern Nebraska Community Action Partnership. Recommendation, general manager be authorized to execute a transfer agreement to take ownership of the lot currently owned by the Eastern Nebraska Community Action Partnership, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as formed by legal counsel and the subcommittee on a vote of 4-1 with Director Teaser voting no. I thought I'd get him recommendation, but recognition anyway, but the subcommittee so approves.
All right, we have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors?
Nope.
Dr. Jeff?
If I could, just for a second. Director Teaser, I thought, brought up some very good points about this, and I'm in agreement with him in the fact that I don't know why we're the depository for unwanted land and bad lots. In other words, it's just maintenance. It's a maintenance issue. Now we're going to have a liability issue, and it just continues to build. I don't know why we're doing this. I totally agree with Director Teaser on his assessment of this.
Thank you, Director Jeff. Any further questions or comments from directors? None, we'll call on the motion.
No.
Yes.
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 Aye.
Yes.
No.
No.
Okay. Motion passes. Item two, Zerinsky Basin 2 Professional Services, count over 110%. Recommendation, Zerinsky 2 Water Quality Basin Pro Services be allowed to exceed the budget amount up to a maximum amount of $650,000. Committee so approves.
Right, once again, I have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion.
Thank
you. Yes.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
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 Yes. Who's my report?
Thank you, Director Thompson. Moving on to Agenda Item 10, Treasurer's Report. Once again, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Treasurer's Report consists of two resolutions that are on the board and additional. In addition, items 10A through 10J inclusive, and I move their approval.
Second.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bowers.
Yes.
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 That concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Agenda item 11, legal update. I don't believe we have one this evening, so we'll move on to the chairman's report, which I don't have one this evening either, so we'll move right along to agenda item 13, the general manager's report. John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Information Education Department report is attached for your review. Personnel miscellaneous item, great news for the NRD and the taxpayers. We learned the S&P Global rating raised the district bond rating from AA from AA minus. This means not only lower interest payments, but also allows us to move up in the possible funding for infrastructure funds that may be generated due to the new infrastructure bills. We're winding their way through Congress. We put a copy of the S&P's news releases for your review. The American Council of Engineering Companies recently awarded Cramper Lake with the Merit Award, category winner for engineering excellence in water resources engineering.
Is that before the fifth station?
That was before the fifth station, okay. And I have a copy of the award, and Olson Associates is obviously a part of that, so congratulations to all involved for that. The district did host another blood drive on Wednesday. We received a tremendous amount of interest. I'd like to thank Nicole for her work in organizing this. 42 potential lives saved with the donations generated by the district. And Christine Jacobson resigned her position as the Education Program Supervisor on February 15th, and we want to thank her for her service and wish her the best of luck in her future endeavors. And Austin Hill has taken over that role for the NRD. A report on purchases, construction services, professional services, personal property is attached for February, as well as the current and ongoing projects with the district legal counsel. The partnership meeting is scheduled for March 22nd, 2018 at 10 a.m. here at the NRC. And that concludes my report.
Was there not a January or February, Pecan Creek Watershed.
I think it was canceled. It was canceled, yeah.
And then are we hiring someone to replace Austin Hill then? Or
they're working through that in the department with Jennifer and Austin, and they're determining what kind of direction to go. They're taking the opportunity to look at all the programs and do some revamping and updating. So should be interesting.
Okay. Yeah. You'll keep us posted.
Yep.
Gotcha. Well, I know who photoshopped this photo of Terry in a suit and tie. I mean,
it looks good.
That's really, it really is. I've never seen you in a tie. Looking good.
All right, thank you, John. Yep. Informational items. Next Board of Directors meeting will be on April 12th here at the NRC office. With that, we are adjourned.
Power on the data. Nice.
We have issues with fish crime.